So we talked about the big three twice. We talked about how Toei Animation wanted to become the Disney of the East. We talked about how Toei Animation as a studio was the first studio that Hayao Miyazaki was a part of, and that was before he created Studio Ghibli. We also talked about subgenres of anime, so magical girl anime like Sailor Moon, awesome, and Gundam. And I suggested Neon Genesis Evangelion, even though it's more of a mecha anime, still in between the two. All right, so as you know, we will be talking about the history of Western animation this time. So your Disney, Pixar, etc., etc. We are still in the quote-unquote talking about history phase, so there are going to be a lot of talking about the history behind the shows and films, hence the name of the episode, and much less talking about the story of those media. So next week's episode, just to give you forewarning, is probably just going to be a study playlist. I know I probably said last episode that I wanted to do a lot more talking about the actual stories behind the shows, and that would probably start happening next week, but it is midterm, so I'd prefer to just do a little calming study playlist full of animation and anime songs that are just good to listen to when you need to hone in and focus on that studying. Again, this week will be less of a full history and more of an important to know or popular hits list. So last week we talked mainly about cel animation and digital animation, and we will be looking at those today, but I also wanted to bring up another type of animation. Stop-motion animation. Of course, there are wonderful Japanese stop-motion animations, but the type of anime that became really popular and that I wanted to talk about last week were mainly cel and digitally animated anime. There are many subgenres to stop-motion animation, for example, claymation, where using clay you kind of just mold body parts and faces to look the way you want for the action that you're getting, take a picture, and do that all over again until you have a full film. There are many popular stop-motion animations, such as Kubo and the Two Strings, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Isle of Dogs, Paranorman, Corpse Bride, Nightmare Before Christmas, etc., etc. I think I might have to do a full episode on just stop-motion animation, but let's get into the movie we're going to be talking about today. Alright, so the movie I'm going to be talking about today is Coraline, based on Neil Gaiman's 2002 book. I really also wanted to talk about Fantastic Mr. Fox, but got a lot of movies in here, and it was just a little too packed, and I feel like Fantastic Mr. Fox deserves to have the story talked about as well as some of the animation stuff, so I'm saving that one for another time. Alright, back to Coraline. Leica Entertainment Studios, the studio that made Coraline, is the first studio to make a stop-motion feature film on ones instead of twos. Ones are shot 24 frames per second, so movement in every frame, making it very smooth, and twos is shot in every other frame, resulting in 12 frames per second, which is giving less smooth action. Also, I really wanted to talk about the attention to detail in Coraline. There are multiple people on multiple different platforms that has talked extensively about the hidden details in Coraline. For example, that double loop on the O in the cake, meaning that she's not home, but she is welcome because there's no double loop on the welcome part of the cake. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. It's also the first stop motion to integrate visual effects and 3D printing prototype technology into traditional stop motion production. It was also the first stop motion to be conceived and photographed in stereoscopic 3D, which means there are two pictures for each frame, one for the left eye, one for the right eye, with the same camera. So this film really combined old techniques with new techniques. This film took a very long time to make, and it was made by having a bunch of different 3D printed parts, right? So Coraline's body would have multiple different versions, her clothes would have multiple different versions, and her face would have like hundreds of tiny little removable face plates to take on and off with magnets. And each part had to be identical, or if it was a different expression for the face per se, it had to be identical in every other aspect. And then to make each picture, you had to change out all of these different things, get that action, take the picture, then do it all over again, you know, so very tedious, but very rewarding. All right, I think that's enough talking for me. Let's listen to some awesome songs from Coraline. Thank you.
vow of mine. She's as cute as a button in the eyes of everyone who ever laid their eyes on Coraline. When she comes around exploring, Mom and I will never ever make it boring. Our eyes will be on Coraline.
Coraline did a lot of firsts for stop motion animation. I mean, it's come a long way since the first stop motion animation film produced, 1898, The Humpty Dumpty Circus. It was a short film with dolls simulating movement of circus acrobats. That film is lost, but Coraline and the techniques used in it has come a long way since then. Since we're talking about a lot of the firsts for animation, let's also talk about the first theatrically animated movie. And if you think it was Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, it actually wasn't. But you wouldn't be the only person to think that. The first theatrically animated movie was El Apostol. It was an Argentinian film made in 1917, and this movie is lost because it was so old. We lost it to time. The oldest surviving theatrically animated movie is The Adventures of Prince Ahmed. It was a German film made in 1926 by Charlotte or Lot Rainier. If I butchered her last name, I am sorry. I've got that tongue-tied thing where, like, words come out, like, fatter than they're supposed to be. I digress. That animation was using the silhouette animation technique, so characters are only visible as black silhouettes, and it's often referred to as shadow puppetry. Characters are against a contrasting background, and poses are minutely readjusted for each photographic frame. It's similar to puppet animation, hence the other name, shadow puppetry. This movie was restored in 1999. It was a silent film when it was made, but it was revived with a soundtrack in 1999. You can watch the restored version on YouTube, and I highly suggest that you do. It's a very interesting technique and a very pretty movie. This original score was made by Wolfgang Zeller, and I genuinely could not find the original score. Instead of playing some music, I'll now talk to you some more. So, great. You're like, Karen, where's my music break? It's not coming yet. I'm sorry. So let's talk about Snow White. So it wasn't the first theatrically animated movie. But it did do a lot of first. And we already talked about this a little bit in last week's episode. It was a movie that influenced the Japanese animation studio Toei Animation to become the Disney of the East. So why do people think that Snow White is the first animated film? Mostly the popularity. Also because it did do, as I said before, a couple firsts for animation. It was the first full-length cel animated feature in three-strip Technicolor, released in 1937. What is three-strip Technicolor? Technicolor is a color film printing process developed in 1916. Three-strip is just a better version of two-strip Technicolor, basically meaning that the camera uses a three-color system rather than a two-color system. So a three-strip captured separate color records into three strips of film. So moving back to Snow White, why is it so important? Snow White is so important because it just completely reached across the world. Everybody knew about it, and it put animation on everyone's map. It was also a great success for the company Disney, right? And it was, of course, the first animation in terms of three-strip, and it just proved that three-strip was better than two-strip, Technicolor. Disney was having ups and downs as a company. They found a lot of success with Steamboat Willie, the cartoon, and actually the term Mickey Mousing obviously came from Disney and Mickey Mouse, and it's referring to the use of music and sound effects being obviously timed with actions of characters. So it was having some ups, but it was also having some downs. But after this movie, Disney had such a big success that it was able to set itself on the track to becoming an even bigger and better animation company and releasing even bigger and better animated films. This film also ushered in the golden age of film, as it's called. All right, so let's listen to some songs from this infamous Disney film, Snow White.
Just whistle while you work, and cheerfully together we can tidy up the place. So I'm a merry tune. It won't take long when there's a song to help you set the pace. And as you sweep the room, imagine that the broom is someone that you love. Fly so
to do.
It ain't no trick to get rich quick.
If you dig, dig, dig with a shovel or a pick.
In a mine,
in a mine,
in a mine,
in a mine,
where a million diamonds shine.
We dig, 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 dig from early morn till night. We dig, 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 dig up everything inside.
We dig up diamonds by the score.
Thousands will be sometimes born.
But we don't know what we dig them for.
We dig, 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 dig.
After Snow White, there was this quote-unquote history of Disney. All of the firsts from then on were pretty much made by Disney. The first stereophonic sound, Fantasia. First widescreen format, Lady and the Tramp. First xerography process, 101 Dalmatians. Eventually, in the 1940s, there was a little bit of a downfall in Disney's production. During this time, movies like Watership Down and Fritz the Cat came out, so animation wasn't all lost. But then, Disney woke up again in the later 1980s, and that movie was Who Framed Roger Rabbit? This totally woke up Disney and got it back on track. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is pretty interesting. It's both live action and animation. So how did they do this? It was made using traditional pencil-drawn animation where each drawing was printed directly onto each frame of film. Very cool, very interesting. Honestly, I say if you haven't watched it, give it a watch. It's pretty cool. All right, let's listen to some songs from this cool film.
You had plenty money, 1922. You let other women make a fool of you. Why don't you do right? Like some other men do. Get out. Thank you. go, you wouldn't be wandering now from door to door. Why don't you do right, like some other man do? Get out.
other than Disney, what other companies boomed big in the animation industry? I think we're both thinking of the same one, so on the count of three, let's say it together. One, two, three, Pixar. You said it, right? Okay. So Pixar was very prominent in CGI animation. Both Pixar and Disney were pioneers in CGI animation, but Disney started earlier, and we know them more for traditional and digital animation rather than CGI animation. All right, so what are the biggest movies in Pixar? If you said Toy Story, you'd probably be right, because that's what I'm going to talk about. Toy Story was the first fully computer-animated feature film, and Toy Story 3 was the first feature film released theatrically in 7.1 surround sound. All right, that's really all I have to say about those two films and Pixar as a whole. Again, just to recap, Pixar, awesome, awesome company that made some really cool advancements in CGI animation. All right, so let's just listen to some awesome songs.
Got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me. Got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through, 'cause you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, big and stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me and you, boy, and as the years go by, our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. I was on top of the world, living high. Right in my pocket, I would live in the life. Things were just the way they should be. When from out of the sky like a bomb comes some little punk in a rocket. Now all of a sudden some strange things are happening to me. I had friends, I had lots of friends. Are gone, and I'm doing best I can, carry on. I had power, I was respected, but not anymore. And I've lost the love, the one whom I adore. Let me tell you about a strange thing that happened to me. Someone you think you know well turns out a stranger. The minute you turn your back, you're in it all by yourself. Then laugh at your jokes, you think you're doing quite well, but you're in danger, boy. You end up alone, forgotten, way up on the shelf. Stranger.
talking a lot about animated movies, but what about animated series? If you're thinking of a very popular animated series, Looney Tunes, that is exactly what I'm going to be talking about. So Looney Tunes began as a short film series originally running from 1930 to 1969. And they also made a spin-off series, Merry Melodies, both released during the golden age of American animation. During a revival for Looney Tunes in the 1970s, new shorts were released. This introduction to a large cast of characters really makes Looney Tunes feel kind of like the SNL of cartoons, if that makes any sense. Looney Tunes was originally produced by Leon Schlesinger and animators Hugh Harmon and Rudolf Ising from 1930 and until 1933 when it was then sold to Warner Brothers Studio. The Looney Tunes title was inspired by Walt Disney's Silly Symphonies. Looney Tunes were so popular because it was just part of so many kids' routines. They got up, got a bowl of cereal, and watched those weekend cartoons, including Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes was more story-driven, while Merry Melodies were used to work on Warner Brothers' musical work, but over time they became interchangeable. Looney Tunes is known for having a more classical score. I think one scene we all know about is that one movie where Bugs Bunny is sneaking into the opera and becomes the conductor for the opera singer and then makes him hold that note forever, and that short would be The Long-Haired Hare. I honestly did want to listen to some of the songs from this, but I don't know. I feel like you gotta watch the cartoon with the songs, because the cartoons were heavily inspired by those songs. Like, the animation really goes hand in hand with the actual songs. So instead, I'm gonna steal away your music break and just keep talking. I know you're super excited about that. All right, so going back to Disney and Pixar, they both have this reputation of being family-friendly, quote-unquote, light films. But what are some of the more darker animated films that came out? Well, there's a little bit of a list, but I'd have to say The Last Unicorn, Secret of Nim, and Watership Down. Watership Down, as I said before, came out during the first quote-unquote break for Disney after their golden age with Snow White and before the revival with Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It was a British animation and it was hand-drawn. As I said before, Watership Down is a darker animation. These normally didn't do as well when they originally released. This was probably because of the precedent Disney had set that animation was supposed to be kids-friendly, but they are still beautifully animated films with a very impactful story. Now, not all Disney movies were cake and Christmas, and some movies did allude to more darker elements, but they weren't as upfront and literal about it as movies like Watership Down were. All right, let's listen to some of the beautiful score and songs from Watership Down.
Is it a kind of dream floating out on the tide, following the river of death downstream? Oh, is it a dream? There's a fog along the strange glow in the sky, but nobody seems to know where you go and what does it mean. Oh, is it a dream? Bright thank you.
One thing I didn't talk about enough during last week's episode was the use of anime to market toys. Pokemon was marketing those Pokemon cards. And this did a lot to help raise profits and make both the toy and the show a success. Of course, this is nothing new than some of the stuff we did and do in the West. Mattel made shows like He-Man, The Master of the Universe, G.I. Joe, Transformers, My Little Pony, and of course, Mattel is a toy company. Let's quickly talk about My Little Pony for a second. My Little Pony was marketed towards girls, and it also marketed the Small Little Pony toys. And they totally hit the jackpot with these. Kids were hooked. It was also pretty popular because the ideas that the show and the toys were selling to kids was something that parents could get behind. An example of this is that friendship is important. The original show and the remake are both equally popular in their own right, unlike some of the other examples on this list. My Little Pony has steadily sold merchandise for a while now. Another example other than My Little Ponies is, of course, Barbie, again made by the Mattel toy company. All the Barbie movies did really well, and they helped sell multiple different versions of the Barbie dolls. Barbie and the Nutcracker was the first Barbie movie to release, and it really helped sell the doll, Barbie, right? And so that year, a lot of kids for Christmas got that Barbie and the Nutcracker doll. There are, in my opinion, three eras of Barbie movies. First, early 2000s, with movies like Barbie and the Nutcracker, Barbie and the Diamond Castle, and etc., etc., all the way to Barbie and the Three Musketeers. So this era lasted from 2001 to 2009. Then there's a second era, marked by a change in art style that starts in the 2010s, and it ends in about the 2015 era. This is the era with my favorite Barbie movie. My favorite Barbie movie, and I'm sure it's your favorite Barbie movie too, was Barbie in a Mermaid Tale. But I'll be saving that for a different episode, which I'll let you know about now. It's going to be Karen's favorites, because I'm sure you're all curious. Anyway, back to Barbie. After 2015, it's 2015 to the present era, and this was again marketed with a new art style. And this is not my favorite style, as well as not my favorite stories, but nevertheless, still Barbie movies. Barbie didn't just have animated movies, but also a very successful show, Barbie Life in the Dreamhouse, as well as the new live-action film with Margot Robbie. I was originally going to play some score from Barbie and the Nutcracker, but I didn't want to force you to listen to Christmas music so early, so I know, thank me for that. Instead, let's listen to some songs from the Barbie movie with dancing dogs, cute necklaces, and a diamond castle. That's right, it's Barbie and the Diamond Castle, since that movie is heavily about singing. All right, so let's listen to some awesome songs from an awesome Barbie movie.
It's so rare to find a friend like you. Somehow when you're around, the sky is always blue. The way we talk, the things you say, the way you make it all okay, and how you know all of my jokes, but you white and holding tight. So here I go, taking the curve, but I know that I'm never alone. I think of you and how you never let me go. I feel connected. It's like you're sitting right with me all the time. You hear me,
you hear me,
you hear me,
you hear me.
And everything else gonna be alright. 'Cause nothing can break this, nothing can break this, nothing can break this tie. Connected, connected inside. It's not an accident, the time we spent apart, but now we're so close, I can always find you right here in my heart.
To Disney one last time. We know it faced lots of ups and downs, and I believe that the final financially hard time it had was in the 1950s. So how did it get out of this financial struggle? Well, they released Cinderella. So Cinderella was sent out as a last-ditch effort for Disney to get some money, right? It was facing some financial hardships, as I like literally just said, and they made this story that was much more relatable to the working class. So everyday Joes could see this movie and want to spend money on it because it was something that could possibly represent them and maybe them coming out of just being working class. It gave hope to the people watching it, and it was just overall very relatable and very beautifully animated film. So, of course, an important thing to note with Disney is that it has had a bit of a problematic past with propaganda and racism, and although Disney has done many, many good things for animation, we can't ignore the fact that many people were harmed by their contribution to racism. So I know that took a little bit of a dark turn there in the last minute, but it is important to point things like this out. And Disney is still a very prominent and still does a lot of good things for animation, so it is also important to still talk about it. We can't just ignore it. Anyway, I think I've yapped enough. The last songs I play will be from Cinderella, and it has been a pleasure hosting this episode today. So thank you again for listening to Animation in Motion. I'm your host, Karen Sun, on 93.3 CFMU FM, signing off.
Your dreams and someday your rainbow will come smiling through.
Good morning or good afternoon, McMaster and surrounding Hamilton area. I want to give you all a super warm welcome to the MSC Sports Show, also known as the Benchwarmers, where two good friends and passionate sports fans come together to talk current sports from the NBA all the way down to the little